protect this field. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. Flare hearts up, this is our heart with the San Diego Seals. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. Flare hearts up, this is our heart with the San Diego Seals.
National Lacrosse League introducing this new member. Quickly becoming contender, San Diego Seals remember. Team is gonna enter Valley View Casino Center with an owner with a vision for SD and not a runner. Inaugural season, but we're going for the crown. Like the Triton World by Salty Hunters and the house that sound. Purple, black, and gray with some gorgeous look around. San Diego Seals repping for this military town, huh? We must protect this field, but that doesn't mean our rogues that we slow down and yield. Arena fully filled with the energy.
Hello, and thanks for listening to Seals City SD. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Seals Jagoff.
Hey!
All right. We're also joined by Andy Keats.
What up?
So, guys, we're coming off a loss to the Vancouver Warriors.
Warriors, yeah.
I almost forgot. But yeah, that was a tough loss. Andy, you were there. It was 14-6. The Seals scored early, but the Warriors took over and never looked back.
Yeah, there was a period late in the second quarter where we had a man up and got like 10 good shots on goal. None of them found their way in. And then penalty cleared. They came right back and scored, pushed it back up to 3, I believe. And then that was kind of that.
Honestly. Yeah. So penalties killed the team, right? That was what I gathered. It was a close game. They had a 5-minute penalty. And I guess the rule is that you can only score 2 on a power play. So they scored 2 on a 5-minute power play. And then that was kind of it.
Yeah. And they really shut Stotts down quite a bit. He was really frustrated. He was mixing it up with the other guys quite a bit. And he was in the penalty box 2 or 3 times, I believe. It just didn't come together. Probably that long layoff, I gotta say.
Yeah, it was the two weeks of bye weeks. You know, that put them off their rhythm. That's what the team says.
I mean, should we hold it against the coach like we do in the NFL, where we're like, the coach just didn't get those guys ready to play after 2 weeks of prepping and looking at tape?
Yeah. Well, based on his quotes afterwards, he took responsibility. I mean, they were out of rhythm and they weren't ready for a tough opponent. But you know, I was going to ask you, Andy, is it normal in lacrosse when a team gets that far up on another team, there's a conservative way to play defense, right? Like almost like a prevent defense. What would you call that?
Yeah, I guess you could do that. I mean, it seemed
like that's what they were doing. I don't know.
Yeah, more like soccer almost.
More
than anything, you kind of sag in. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit prevented just by the fact that there's a shot clock, so you're still going to get shots off. You know, you can't really be too passive, offensively or defensively. But yeah, I guess so.
So we talked about Stotts getting shut down, and I think we saw this in some of the earlier games where they would stick a double team on him. But like strategically, how do you shut him down, and how does that have him draw the penalty? Like they're checking him, they're pushing him against the wall. Like how do you do that?
I mean, it's just from what I saw, it seemed like they were like they just pissed him off. They just got under his skin, and there were some tacky penalties that he got just from retaliating. That was certainly the case in the second half. Game was out of hand by that point, but there was definitely some of that. Yeah, I think they were like, you know, the type of stuff you'd see with like a really good scorer in basketball, where you're holding him, you're face guarding him, you're just annoying him the whole game basically.
And he's probably real confident, because I think since the last time we podcasted, he had that incredible play where they were just draped all over him, and he somehow like backhanded it backwards into the goal, found a tiny hole by the goalie. And like, if it was me, I would think I'm Superman, I can do that every time.
Yeah.
And maybe that led to him kind of fighting back a little too much.
Yeah, I don't know. He's such a stud. I bet that stuff comes naturally to like the guy like that. He's so damn good. Like that, he puts that shot in his sleep.
So is he still the leading scorer in the NLL? I haven't checked the stats. Did he score in that game? Right,
he did. It's a good question whether he's still
leading the team.
Certainly still the leading team. Yeah, we could pull that up. We get our producer and stat guy on that.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because it ties into local media actually discovering Austin Stotts, right? Because I think it was last week the Union Tribune put out an actual profile on him.
Yeah, like a sports profile.
Like, it wasn't like a, here's this wacky sport that's playing at the sports arena, right? It was like a real sports article, which is new for this.
It was awesome.
And it wasn't a Joe Tsai is going to build us an arena article, which is the other Seals aspect.
Which we'll get to later in this show.
A lot devoted to that, yeah.
But it was, I'll commend the UT. I think if this is our new fate as a sports city, that we have one major league franchise and every fringe sport, then like let's start treating the fringe sports like sports and come to grips with the fact that we won't be on SportsCenter every night.
Yeah, and one thing that he talked about in the article was that he wanted to be a star in the city. I mean, how do you think that could work, like a crossover star from a sport like this, like in San Diego?
It's probably a little bit of wishful thinking as far as being a star in the city, but like he does have an interesting story. Like, guy grew up on an Indian reservation. He went to a community college. He left early. He was the number one pick, and now he's lighting the league on fire. He's getting full attention from every opponent. And
his brother's really good.
His brother's really good. He
plays for an American rival team as well.
Right, and in a league where there are another set of three brothers who are also grew up on Indian reservations, who are also three of the best players in the league. Like, I don't know. There's a story there. If you if you go to sports for the stories, that's a pretty good story.
It's a great story,
right?
And I think it's a big step to have that story being told via mainstream media, because I don't think anyone has really treated it like that. Like, I don't get the newspaper, but I'm gonna assume there was not a game story on Saturday.
Right. That,
I listened to 1090 on Monday. They weren't wrapping up the X's and O's of the game. They didn't announce the score. So it's as if it didn't happen in the eyes of local sports radio.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of AAF content. A
lot of big content. Yeah. Stotts is seventh in goals right now. That's league. Not in points, that's in goals. And our most hated rival, Dane Dobby, is tied for second.
And leading the league is Lyle Thompson, one of the three brothers.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, the Seals signed a defenseman today.
Okay. Tell me about him.
Yeah, well, they had trouble defending the
defense. Defense did not play well last week.
No.
Neither did the goalkeeper, frankly. But there was a switch in the second half. I didn't really see.
So they signed defenseman Kyle Hertzel.
Okay.
He's from the U.S. like traveling junior team. Or wait, sorry. He's 33 years old. He's played 65 games in the NLL, and you know he's a bruiser.
Okay. Enforcer. We got a new enforcer.
Yeah, he's 6'2", 180 pounds.
That doesn't sound like enforcer.
6'2", 180. God, I love lacrosse.
Yeah,
place where guys like me are athletes.
So we're gonna be looking at this season as before. What's his name?
Kyle
the bruiser Hartzel.
Yeah.
Bruiser. Let's only refer to him as the bruiser from here forth.
I look at him more as like a mercenary. He just wants to hit.
Yeah.
But you know that.
Hey, you know what that shows? That shows a real commitment to spending from this ownership. To bring in the people that we need, identified a weakness, and spent the money needed for it.
They have the money to make mistakes.
Yeah.
So the Seals are in first place.
Is that weird to say?
No, man. I mean, it's all right.
So this is an interesting topic, because we started in our first episode talking, like, it was me that said, I don't really care if they win. It's just going to be entertaining, right? Yeah. It's like watching a TV show, but I'm starting to care if they win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys feel the same?
Yeah. So before this game that we lost, we had 2 weeks off. Prior to that, there was an away game the day after the most recent home game. And I had stuff to do, but I was like feverishly checking my phone for the score the whole day.
Yeah.
I did genuinely care if they were going to win. So I don't know. Like, I guess there's like a fake it until you make it type of thing, where like it starts as a bit, then you're like actually into it, and then sooner or later you actually seem to care if an NLL team in your hometown wins.
Yeah, I mean they would. I'm curious to see how the postseason plays out, and if there is like a race to winning what the division or
what the
I would
the
Western
the
Western
Conference? Western division
the
yeah.
Western division
I yeah. would I would celebrate a championship obnoxiously I'm willing to say now I would go all in
we're gonna have a parade right
yeah, yeah
bring, I have to assume
bring a ship to San Diego
I mean you're the one with connections at the mayor's office like we will have a parade right
that's like light up the lights purple in City Hall
I mean you guys have been talking about shutting down Harbor Drive there seems no better. No better reason to do it other than
this
a SEALs
is
parade.
The reason a SEALs parade on Harbor Drive.
Yeah,
writes itself.
Well, I mean, it's going to be a Democratic mayor, right? But I want to pick the one that's the
no,
close
this year.
I know. Yeah,
we're not waiting. This is the year.
Yeah, this is the year. We're in first place.
I just want, I want the mayoral candidate to be pro SEAL.
Oh yeah,
more than any other.
I mean, we're talking to someone that. I mean, I assume you've asked questions at debates and stuff, right?
Sure,
this is an important question for the.
Okay, I need to get all the mayoral candidates on the record on the
yeah.
SEALs.
Are you going to get in Joe's way? That's the question.
Got to ask Corey Briggs that. He's the one most likely to get in Josiah's way. Yeah.
Can you ask him?
Yes, I'll ask him. I'll let him know.
TKF guest.
Just to recap the standings right now. So the SEALs are in first. We are percentage points ahead of Calgary. And then it's kind of a gap. Down below that, all the
Calgary
other teams have a losing record.
Dobby.
Yeah, that dickhead Dane Dobby.
F that guy.
Yeah, it's weird to say. It's really weird to say San Diego is in first place, and it's exciting.
It is.
I mean, what?
You're right. I was scoreboard watching. I was trying to see if Saskatchewan, who I thought was our ultimate rival, based on them loving SEALs Twitter for some reason.
Yeah, they just have a good following.
Yeah,
it's probably listening right now. Shout out Saskatchewan Twitter.
Rush, yeah,
let's look at like what the Fleet are dealing with. They might be one of the worst teams in that league. They look bad. Can you be bad in your first season? Like the SEALs don't have that problem. That's what I mean.
Right.
I mean.
And just as a comparison, Philadelphia is the other expansion team. They're 1-7, and they're dreadful.
Yeah.
They've been getting blown out, too.
Yeah, they were talking about in that profile, like the coin flip that could have gone to the SEAL. I mean, if we don't get Stotts.
It's a whole different game, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the SEALs are constructed in a way that seems like the way you'd want if you were an expansion team that wanted to win, right? Like, there's future Hall of Famers at the end of their career. There's high-ceiling youngsters that we don't know anything about, but have turned out to be good. Like, it seems to me if you're making, it's kind of like if you were an expansion team in baseball or some other sport, like you're trying to get proven players if you're trying to win right away.
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to think the NFL, when the Panthers and the Jaguars came in and they were both good right away. There was like Steve Berline at the beginning of his career or at the end of his career, I should say. And then, like Tim Biakabatuka was there,
and then was Brunell right out of
Brunell
the
was yeah. right
so they
out
had
of the
like,
gates. Yeah,
they had
exactly.
like good quarterbacks good right quarterbacks away. Right away. Yeah.
Weren't they in the AFC Championship game in like their fourth?
Both
year?
Both of them both. Were in the league championship in the first couple of years. Yeah, or fourth year. Yeah, that sounds right.
Well, another comparison would be like the Golden Knights and just how that.
Well, yeah, that I guess that's true. Yeah. I don't know
anything
about hockey.
I know they drafted a lot of hockey players in the expansion draft.
That winter sport that our SEALs play.
Yeah. We've lost Saskatchewan Twitter, by the way.
I don't know. I've noticed my Tim Hortons jokes really fall poorly on that audience.
Yeah.
We mentioned SEALs Twitter, but I actually think we've created a nice little ecosystem of SEALs Twitter.
We were walking around the arena, like seeing friends. It was like, oh, hey, there's Eric. It was great.
There's Carlos.
There's Carlos. Yeah, it was awesome. Shout outs, by the way.
But you know, Carlos from Padres Twitter, he was down there with his entire family. And, you know, he said he spent like $80 and it was like four seats and, you know. It was a blast. It was a lot of fun. I mean, the production is still great. Oh, and we should talk about it. Real third wave ska heavy on the music. That was thanks to Mike Grace for coming on the pod and listening to us.
Yeah, you guys got a little bit of sway, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we do. Yeah.
Yeah, they played Real Big Fish. They played
Bucko Nine. They played My Town, right?
Was it My Town or a deeper cut? I think it was. But yeah, it was of that genre.
It's just great to have a team that actually listens to its fans. It's refreshing.
Yeah,
you know, the music constantly throughout the game is really growing on me. I would miss it, I think, if it wasn't.
I was telling someone today that I thought I would hate it.
Yeah.
I thought it was gimmicky, but it's kind of great. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I can't hear Woods at all.
I hear him every once in a while.
I know he's talking, but I don't know what he's saying, and it gets drowned out with the crowd noise and the music and stuff, the acoustics of the place.
I think I'm fine with it. I'd like to hear the players a little bit. I'd like to hear them talking to each other from time to time, but if you're in the upper level, you're not going to hear them anyway, I guess.
One thing they also did at the game, they did a great bit where they did the 10-year challenge, and they had like the Seals players would have like their picture now and then their 10-year earlier awkward like high school picture or whatever it was. And then they would show players from the Warriors and then cut to like these goofy like movie characters, but it really landed with the crowd. It was like really funny and like a sick burn. But I like that kind of like sports light humor when it's done right.
Yeah, like seeing the players as people.
Yeah, no.
Like inaccessible marketing tools.
And they were,
speaking of which, the Black Speech promo.
Yeah,
that was great.
That was a good promo.
That was some good content.
That was good content. I sent that around.
I mean, there's one thing you can say about the Seals. Like they're like a really professionally run organization that's invested a lot of money on the back end.
Yeah.
Like their sales staff is big. They've got how many dancers do they have? Like 25 dancers, like choreography. Yeah.
These like interstitial segments throughout the game are well done. The promos throughout the week. Another way to put it is that they're trying.
Yeah.
Like every once in a while I look at the Padres and it's like, are you guys even are you interested in doing this? Because owning a baseball team is fundamentally optional. And at least the Seals seem invested in making it work to the best of their ability.
Well, they understand the hurdles that they have. This sport that a lot of people don't really know. Some people have podcasts. They don't really know what they're talking about. But like, no, they're trying to bridge, make it more of a human connection. Like, you don't need to know the rules per se. You can just root for these guys who are kind of new to the city and trying to get to know us too, it seems like.
You
know?
Well, I mean, I think we talked about it here, maybe not, but like the Padres want to be an entertainment product, right?
Yeah.
And they want to strip away the need for the baseball team to be good at baseball. It's just a fun night out with your family or your pals, right? And I think the Seals are offering that as well. Or you can see it as that, right? If you don't know lacrosse, it's still a fun time with your family. It's just that it costs like a fraction of the Padres game and is arguably more engaging for young people. Like,
and there's more visible effort.
Yeah, a lot of effort.
Yeah.
But like I feel like they're trying to win my business. Yeah. I haven't felt that way from the Chargers or the Padres in years, really.
Yeah. Going back, you mentioned the podcast. We don't know what we're talking about. I'm supposed to be the one here who knows about lacrosse. And I got to tell you, I listened back to that first episode, and I said some things that were wrong, and I apologize about that. After reacclimating myself to the indoor game after 20 years off, I realized that I said some simply untrue things. So all you Saskatchewan fans out there, you were very kind not to correct me publicly.
But the FOGO guy is still important.
FOGO
right?
is still important. Okay. But
who's leading the team?
I don't know. It's a good question. But like for instance, I explained positionally. I basically just gave you a field lacrosse description, which is not the way it's played here. It's full offensive defensive shifts every time. And then there's this transition position. I blew it. I blew the positional description back in episode one, and I apologize to everybody out there for that.
Have we figured out the crease rules for this?
Yes. That's another one I blew.
A couple games ago, I think it was two games ago, there was an incredible goal where they leapt from the back of the goal over the goal and then flipped it off the back of the goalie.
Yeah. So what happened in that play, and it went to review, right?
Yes.
So what happened in that play was you can do that. It just has to be a goal before you land.
Okay. So it matters where your feet take off from
and then where
releasing the ball before you land.
And it has to be a goal before you land.
Okay.
So the ball, what had happened, it hit the goalie and then the post, which was enough time to hang it up that by the time he landed, it had not crossed the goal line.
Okay.
It had become a goal.
It was very exciting.
It was great.
Incredible replay to watch.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was, and I remember when the crowd realized that it was not going to be a goal, and they waved it off. It was very exciting.
This might sound like a stupid question, but where exactly is the crease? That's like around the goal.
It cuts off. It's a semicircle, basically. Okay, okay. It cuts off in the back.
So yeah. when Stotts had that iconic goal where he backed a guy kind of across the crease.
Yeah, he was.
He was pushing him backwards, and then did it. That's
yeah. He like bodied him up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you brought up the Fleet. That's our latest new minor league fringe sport.
It is a competitive field out there in the fringe sport San Diego.
That's Sunday, man. We got to get through Friday.
That's true.
Well, so when we started this podcast, I mean, I guess the goals were there. They're a fringe sport, basically. But there wasn't much competition quite yet. And since then, the Sockers have gone like 13-1 or something. They've... signed Landon Donovan. We've got the Fleet.
It's worth restating that they signed Landon Donovan.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
You got the Fleet, who was on CBS like network primetime on a weekend. And then you've got
got better ratings than the NBA that night.
Right, yeah. And then you've got the Strike Force. We don't need to talk about the Strike Force. There's a lot of competition, right? And the weekends are actually pretty busy. Like, you've got a Friday Seals game, you've got a Sunday Fleet game.
And we got a Seals game on the app in the parking lot of the Landon debut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soccers are playing Sunday also, I'll add.
Oh, are they really? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, geez.
Against
the Fleet.
Yeah. Yes. Right against the Fleet. So you need two iPads to watch. Yeah. Where do the Seals fall on this? Like they had a great debut, right? Yeah. And there's competition now. And I think this goes back to what you were saying, Andy, where they're trying.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. I think I don't know where they fall. I do think that this competition could potentially hurt them. I mean, for the simple point that you mentioned, that this is
like, you can't drive down to the sports arena all the time, or I can't.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And for the type of entertainment that I presume most people are in that arena for, it's probably all the same whether you're at a Sockers game or a Seals game. Now, there's certainly like a lacrosse community that is well represented when you go to those games. They're like decked out in jerseys and stuff. They're there for the Seals. But what makes it a successful event or not, or them a successful franchise or not, are a group of people who could probably go to Gulls, Seals, or Sockers and be fine either way. I don't know. I think this Landon thing does take a little shine off them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's going to be a big crowd on Friday, I imagine. And the Seals had the newness of them, you know, it was this cool thing for me personally.
The production values of the event is above the other options.
Seals game.
Yeah. At the Seals.
I agree with that. The in-arena experience is more engaging than the other games I've been
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, I do think there's a possibility for a rising tide lifting all boats theory, which is like, especially if the Landon game is fun and understand, my understanding is that they're basically sold out, or they're going to come close to selling out. I think people going and seeing the sports arena filled and high energy probably encourages them to go back to the sports arena. Like, before I ever went to a Gulls game, a Seals game, or a Sockers game, I would go to the sports arena every year for the one Lakers exhibition game. And it just makes the entire idea of going to the sports arena for a sporting event seem like more of a fun idea if you've ever experienced it in that way. So,
and it's like, seems accessible. Like,
it does seem accessible.
I hadn't been to a sports arena sporting event in 25 years, probably.
Since this year?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Before the Seals?
I have never been to a Gulls game. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
I've been to Disney on Ice. That's it. Yeah. But they don't open the whole arena for Disney
on Ice.
Is
it electric?
Disney on Ice atmosphere. Yeah, it's very good. You should take your kid there.
All right. I will.
It's a lot better value than going to, you know, we can have a dad chat in here, but it's a lot better than going to, for the price of one ticket in Disneyland, you can sit in the like third row of Disney on Ice and your kid will like it just as much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to know. I guess I could tell my kid that it is Disney World.
I haven't really discussed the existence of Disneyland.
Exactly.
It's good. Yeah.
So for me, like that opening visit for game one of the Seals has kind of opened my eyes. It's, hey, the sports arena's there. Stuff going on. It's not that expensive.
Yeah.
The beers, if we're being honest, the selection of beers is better than at Petco. At least my taste, I think it's better.
Yeah, it's at the least the same. And honestly, they're doing these $3 specials every game.
People are getting loaded at these games. I know. You listen to episode two. It's
another thing I should apologize for. everybody. I see a lot of people.
I think that
two-fist in these.
There is something part. You feel like if you have both hands full with like the special beer, you're a part of something.
Yeah. It's like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing at the Seals game. I mean, like, let's be serious. They won't cop to this, but like, they wore the black jerseys and they called it Blackout Night. Like, they want people to have a good time. Yeah. They're selling $3 beers and calling it Blackout Night. This isn't...
It's not rocket science.
They also stopped that deal after halftime, so it's not like... I think
it's after third quarter?
She said it was... She was like, you better get another two before the end of halftime.
Yeah, okay. So then we buy four of them. You do the thing where you stick them in your armpit, you like pin it against your body.
Yeah.
So, San Diego being Fringe Sport USA, like, I think... we were talking earlier on how we think it's going to survive once the Padres come on, and there's going to be a lot of competition. I think I think I'm kind of going off something you said, Andy, that there's a lot of people from like high school lacrosse. Like, you see them in the crowd. Like, there's a core group there that I think is going to support it no matter what.
I think they'll stick around. The question is whether that's a healthy enough group to coast on if everything else falls away.
I know it'd be a great promo for them.
Yeah.
If they took the number one National Lacrosse League related podcast and sent their owner and or president onto it, that would be, I think that would sell a lot of people on it, right?
He's available.
Yeah. No, I think,
I don't want to brag, but we're literally.
Go ahead, you share this data.
We literally are the world's number one National Lacrosse League podcast.
Yeah.
We downloads wise, we're four times higher than the league has multiple podcasts. We're four times higher than the National Lacrosse League official podcasts. And then there are some other like fan podcasts that have been around for a while, done by like former players. And I listened to a couple of them, and it's real talk about lacrosse. He's getting interviews with players after games, like calling into him so he could use it on the podcast. And we're getting, in some cases, five times as many downloads as them. For us to dick around and talk about Fogos.
And you guys asked me to explain things, which I which I do incorrectly.
So, I mean, if Steve Govett happens to be listening to this, it would be a great promotional tool. And let's compare ourselves to local radio. Compared to local radio, we have, I think, seven times the listenership of Dan Cilio.
Is that true?
Yeah.
This show?
Yes.
Great.
Dan Cilio at any time has somewhere between 100 and 200 listeners, according to Nielsen.
Yeah.
Wow. It's impressive. Well, all right. So as long as we're putting some promotional ideas out there, Nick, you had a really good one, which is if you could somehow get, with the purchase of a ticket, a free stream on the Bleacher Report app.
Well, I was looking at
to watch an away game.
I was thinking about that on the game that weekend where they played a home game and then they played a road game the next day. Yeah. And like, why don't they just, with the price of it, like with the ticket, just say if you get the app, you get one game free, because on the app you can buy single games, events. You
don't have $3, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of content on that app that you might be interested in. It's like $8 a month. There's like some NBA content, like some cool stuff, like that Tiger versus Phil thing would have been on it, but. You can just buy a game for $3. I was thinking, why don't the Seals just give out like a coupon voucher code for watching it? Because that really helped. The game that I saw, you were at the game, but the game that I watched on TV really helped me understand the game more. Like, I knew going to my second game live, I really had a better sense of it.
Like, not to take anything away from Andy's analysis, but
no, I know
the announcers, have helped
it's
me a lot.
Really good production.
They've done a better job. Yeah,
and I mean, it is a fun sport. It is a fun sport to watch live, but the photography they get when they're up in the replay, that Stotts goal that I keep thinking about is like, they showed that four times in a row, obviously.
Right, or it's the, like, the instant replay we were talking about where they dove from the back over. Like, yeah. It's incredible in slow motion on replay. In person, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, just like basketball, like if you get caught watching the ball, you can miss a lot that's happening off ball. And there's a lot happening off ball all the time. So there's on replays, there's a lot to be broken down there. And I think you get a better sense of what people are trying to do.
Well, the Seals have, I mean, going into like the deeper into the spring, like they are going to have to sell this postseason run, assuming they keep on this trajectory. Like the one thing the Sockers have with Landon, I think the stakes are higher with Landon if they get bounced in the playoffs. Like, I'm actually invested in that. Like,
you want that to happen?
No, I want them. Like, no, I don't want him to lose. I want them to win it all, because if they don't with Landon, I mean, you know, the SDSU West friends, they might get lippy. But I don't want to bring that. You know,
no, because they got to stay loyal to Craig Childs.
I know
he's an Aztec.
I know, like, people will say stuff. And it'll
are those guys still around?
Those guys?
Yes, they're around.
Are they?
Go on your phone right now and tweet something about
about soccer.
Anything SDSU related?
Yeah, okay, all right.
But you know, we were talking about the Padres. There's significant crossover. Like, the last regular season game is April 27th, so that's a full month into the baseball season at that point.
Yeah.
Then, assuming they make the playoffs, which looks like a
good bet,
good likelihood. Yeah.
How many teams make the playoffs?
A lot.
A lot.
Okay.
Like 75%.
Yeah. 73%. I think.
Well, we'll get into that.
Eight out of 11.
We'll get into that on the playoff preview pod.
When we'll be presumably we'll be taking a trip out to Denver for one of these playoff games.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Who's our ultimate rival?
Yeah.
In lacrosse, like, at first I was gonna say Saskatchewan, but the Saskatchewan Rush Twitter has been so friendly, like, yeah, so stereotypically Canadian in their friendliness.
Yeah, it's almost like they're doing a bit.
Like, I've tried.
The bit is earnest Canadian stereotype.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's racist, because I'm not sure if they're a different race, but I pulled out every stereotype possible. Like,
yeah, a lot of Tim Hortons slams.
A lot of Tim Hortons slams, a lot of denim jokes.
Yeah.
Nothing offends these guys. Like, you say one thing to the Dodgers and their fans are all over you. Like,
yeah,
I don't know how to push their buttons, is what I'm saying.
Just write out the lyrics to the national anthem. Yeah. Just change a few words.
Yeah,
let's not get into that.
I think you might have landed on it. I think that actually might be what does it. It seems to me that the league would probably like a rivalry to emerge between us and Colorado.
But they're not going to make the playoffs as of today. So,
I
don't know if this is widely known, but the Calgary is owned by Stan Kroenke. So,
Colorado.
Sorry. Colorado is owned by Stan Kroenke. So, it's a perfect chance for just a billionaire titan.
Yeah. And they seem to be the model of what the Seals would like to be, which is that it's a young person's event in Colorado. A lot of people go. The lacrosse community in Denver has embraced it. I think that's what they're looking for here. That's what, like,
I mean, attendance-wise, they're one of the best.
Yeah, attendance-wise, they're one of the best. So obviously, everybody would like to emulate
Steve
that.
Steve Govett, president of the Seals, is from there. Like, there's a lot of ties back there.
So I don't. That one makes sense to me. As far as if it was Saskatchewan or Calgary, I'd frankly just be pulling that out of a hat. Although I did hate that.
I hate Dobby Calgary, asshole. Though. I hate Dane Dobby.
Dane Dobby. Such
and
an asshole.
Also, Calgary's the one who we're percentage points ahead of right now.
Okay.
So, I mean, I lean towards Calgary, but I'm obviously open to suggestions on who we should hate.
Yeah. Having hatred for Dobby helps.
Yeah.
I do want bad things to happen. He is a tremendous dickhead.
Yeah. In every game we've played him, he's been not only good, but also a dick.
He's been good, and good in a way that is detestable.
Yes.
You know, like, he's like, you know, you watch the Patriots and it's just like, oh, another 2-yard out that turned into a first down. Like, Jesus Christ. That's like the Dan Dobby game.
Yeah.
He looks like he can do my taxes. Also. Like, yeah. Athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm running out of tar sands jokes though for Calgary. Like my material's running thin.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, get a world book and learn a little bit more about Calgary.
I've been there like six times. Okay. I'm strong in Calgary knowledge, but like, I don't know. I don't know how to push Canadians' buttons. That's really what it comes down to. And I think we could really, really push Colorado's buttons.
Yeah,
well, Americans are just more combative.
Yeah, they're not combative. Any Canadians associated with the SEALs who could give us some intel into your people, how we could upset them a little bit more? Right now, they just compliment us on the show and say how exciting it is to see that we're getting into it.
Yeah, it's infuriating. Really, you guys are so good all the time. And like, yeah, we're like, we beat your team this week. And like, yeah, I know, but it, you know, it's kind of worth it to see you guys happy.
There were like other teams bragging about the SEALs attendance. They're like, things are going so well in San Diego, 12,000 opening night.
Hey, yeah, I'm starting to feel a little hatred towards Vancouver. I mean, the way they were going after Stotts last game, and then we're playing them in March 2nd. So,
I don't know. They're also,
they have a losing record.
Those bastards do have a far superior public transit system to us, and have been much more willing to embrace dense urban development in their urban core. So,
their
like,
air is so clean.
Yeah, like F those guys.
They've got a functioning ferry system.
Yeah, like, Jesus.
Ah, their prime minister is so handsome, and, like, not a tyrant. It's just a.
Oh, yeah, we haven't even struck that well at all. We could really go after him.
I dipped my toe into it, okay. Actually. It didn't, okay.
These guys, unbelievable.
I mean, I dipped so far that I was pulling things about the dinosaur museum in Alberta. And it's like,
okay, so you really...
Like, I'm just out of material for that. I can reuse it, but it wasn't effective the first time, and it's not going to be effective the second time.
God. Oh, that's maddening.
Is there a team in the French part of Canada?
No, that's unknown. The only East Coast team is Toronto, Toronto, right?
Yeah, that's far. Yeah.
Yeah. Who we play, I think, coming up.
We play in Toronto on Friday.
Yeah, we do have an East Coast swing coming up. 4:30
start for us.
The Georgia Swarm, I think we play. And New England, who was like the star of the early season, I think they've fallen off a little bit. But
bastards.
Yeah.
Do you know what the attendance was like for the Georgia Swarm?
No. Yeah. I can talk to you about ticket prices because I looked at those, but
okay.
They're cheaper.
Cheaper?
Yeah, they're cheaper. Hmm. In fact, every team I looked at traveling to go see the game was cheaper.
Interesting.
But
do they play where the Hawks play?
I don't know. I don't know where the Hawks play.
Is it Atlanta, Georgia?
Yeah, Atlanta.
Yeah.
I think they do pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's quite a lacrosse community. There's a lot of prep schools.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
stupid mm-hmm. Westminster, a bunch of other ones, yeah.
Yeah, I know a lacrosse player from Marietta. Marietta. Marietta's out here. Marietta,
right. Georgia, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So should we move to the Joe Tsai segment? If we
we probably should, yeah.
Because there's news, right?
Yeah. What's the news?
He just bought another team.
Oh, yeah.
The guy collects teams like baseball cards.
He bought the WNBA, the Liberty.
He's diverse. He's got a really nice-looking portfolio at this point.
Well, he's matching Kroenke, because Kroenke also has quite a portfolio. He owns the Rams. He owns the hockey team. I think he owns the Nuggets. I think he owns all the teams in Denver.
Okay. Every team in Denver and the Rams.
Yeah.
Do you think these guys are just at, like, a rich guy party, and they just... Like, they want to talk about one of their teams that's successful. Like, if the Liberty are bad, he'll be like, well, the Seals are winning.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm into right now.
Did you see the clip of Joe Tsai playing catch on the field?
He can sling it.
Oh, yeah, he can sling it, absolutely. I would have liked to have seen him rip a corner. But he looked like that was already worth it. Like, buying the team was worth it for that minute there.
Yeah.
Of like, okay, toss me that rock. Okay, yeah, here you go. Yep, lefty two. Boom, okay. All right, I'm good. I'm going to go back to running Alibaba, and thank you very much. It's all worth it.
Is it the throwing the ball that you think was worth it, or is it the knowledge that players there are like, wow, boss man can throw it? Like,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like down. I mean, that's because he doesn't play D1 lacrosse. He's a good lacrosse
player.
But
he doesn't get that from the net, right? Like, no, he throws up a free throw. Yeah. Like, no one's congratulating.
D'Angelo Russell's not like, Joe, here you go.
Yeah.
Jack won. Yeah.
So on SciWatch, are we talking now about the Liberty being moved here? I mean, San Diego is Fringe Sport USA.
I would take a WNBA team.
It would make sense, right?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd move the Liberty, though, right? If he had bought a fringier fringe WNBA team, then I think it could certainly be in play.
So,
but what you don't, you don't leave New York.
So we're not getting the Liberty.
I don't think so, man.
No,
I don't think so.
What was this all about?
Well, no, I mean, so Joe Tsai, one thing that's different about these, of all the fringe sports, this feels like we're being, it feels like this is a focus group almost for him. Like, let's see what San Diego does as a sports city. That's what makes it different than the Soccers or the Gulls or the Fleet. It's like, this guy's looking at us. And what do you think Joe Tsai sees so far? Or should he be able to, I mean, maybe he's like, well, this is a fringe sport. This is something that's, that the community doesn't know that much about. So this is,
well, tell me what you would have learned if instead of trying to like figure out what Joe Tsai,
I think about what Joe Tsai thinks all
the time. CEO of Alibaba thinks.
So he sees opening night is like a pretty decent number.
Matt Barnes is here. Andre Reed is here.
Yeah. So then the next few nights are lower. I mean, last time was probably about four or five, maybe.
Five seems
right. I don't know what they told. I don't know what was published or
anything. They published 8.
Okay.
But I mean, I was looking at the crowd on TV and I didn't see 8.
Yeah, I didn't see
8. I would say it was lower than 8.
8's pretty full. I mean, that's not a small crowd at the sports arena.
And we don't know how many tickets were given out. I mean, do you think...
It seemed like 5 to me.
Do you think... I mean, what would you say?
No, I think he's happy. Like, if we're being honest, when they first announced this team, I had like 1,500... 2,000 in my head for what
like,
they were going to draw.
Will anyone go?
Yeah. And there's a long, long trail of failed NLL teams. Like, if you look on the wiki...
Anaheim had a team for a year?
1 year.
1 year, yeah.
Speaking of expansion teams, they, I think, won one game in the entire season. Like, the Seals are way ahead of that.
Imagine how
respect.
Embarrassing that would have been.
Yeah.
One year, forget about it. No one's going.
Well, that's what
win
I thought.
One game.
I mean, that's what I thought the Seals were going to be.
Really?
Yeah.
That could have easily happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's happened here before. I mean, every minor league basketball team we've had failed before the season was over. The Strike Force are going to fail before the season's over. Like,
you're putting that marker down? Strike Force do not make it through
the season.
Are we going?
I'm saying 3 games at
most. 3 games? Okay. Yeah.
That one sounds like it might be more employees there than people.
Strike Force is a stupid team.
For sure, more concessionaires. I mean, did you see the picture of the team with Burke Grossman standing there like in a 70s outfit? Yeah. The only thing missing is a cig hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, if he's learning that you can bring people out if you put together a first class product, I mean, first class, but then that would be great. That'd be great. I mean, the opportunity that's on the table for him, I think, is he owns a team here that plays in an arena. He owns other teams that play in arenas. He's clearly in the market for teams that play in arenas. And this city, which is a top 30 media market in the country, is in the market for a new arena. Uh-huh. And presumably, if he could be a player in that, whether it's as a primary, as like the driver of it, but apparently also the Anaheim Ducks owners that also own the Gulls seem to be very interested in arena ownership, and they've hired some of the most high flying lobbyists in City Hall to make that happen for them. The city's lining things up. Then
but I mean, at the very least, they want a leverage play, right, for Anaheim. I would think
you would think that's what they. You would think that that's at least a fallback option, right? I don't know if they really want to move the Ducks here.
Right.
But even if you don't move the Ducks here, you get a little bit of leverage and you give the Gulls a better hometown. And if you don't have to foot the whole bill because one of the richest people in the world is a partner on the project and the city puts in whatever the city's capable of putting in, then that's great. It's fine.
I don't know if this is, I think this was since we recorded last, but Joe Tsai actually had a little media push, right? Was that before or after?
It looks like they, if I remember correctly, they rolled that out for the second game. The second home game.
Yeah. So Joe Tsai was pretty clear though that I think a lot of people saw him as, well, he's really rich. He's just gonna build us an arena.
And
he was pretty clear though in those interviews that he was looking for a city partnership, which you can translate into taxpayer money to build that arena for him.
Yeah, I don't think he's...
I mean, he's very clear that it had to be a quote, a good business deal, which generally means I don't want to pay for it.
I win this.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say. No, I mean, it would be great if...
I mean, and the economics of an arena are obviously much better for a city than a football stadium, but...
And, well, look, we're gushing over the Seals a little bit here. We should probably level set that the economics of and any NLL team are not such that you float even a large percentage of the cost of a new arena
right,
for one.
For sure. Yeah. Not for the
very clear about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they had a strike this year, and it wasn't over that much money for the players. Like, the players don't make that much money. The delta that they're negotiating is not much.
Over the revenue related to a Bleacher Report app.
Yeah.
That's hot content. Yeah,
meanwhile, we're pushing for them to just hand out vouchers like candy over here. So.
It's still a good idea.
I think that's a great idea. I think that's the best idea we've had.
What other promo ideas do we have? You good? Jagoff, you got. You're a good promo
I'm
idea
out on
guy.
Promos now. Like, yeah? they don't
move the needle.
Tchotchkes don't excite me anymore. I would like a nice hat.
What about a Seals beach towel?
I would take the Seals beach towel. If it could actually absorb water, I would take the
Seals beach towel's like on brand too. Frankly, give me a beach towel.
Yeah. Right? Beach towel's always been the best giveaway, I think.
You need something that you can actually use. I don't need another damn bobblehead.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I
don't know, fiddlesticks, but that probably cost too much.
Fiddlesticks would cost too much. But if you could get people at the
beach playing cat instead of dumb smash ball playing.
Smash ball is a dumb game.
Like a mini version of mini stick?
Yeah,
they sell them. You should actually go buy one. They're at Dick's. They're like $20 for a pair. Okay. It's the best beach toy, I think.
It's a good beach toy.
Like, and you're right. Smash ball is really an awful beach game.
It's not even a game.
It's stupid.
It's not a game.
Yeah.
Spike
ball is fine, but you need four people. Fiddlesticks is a lot better.
Smash ball is the type of thing that you come up with when you're bored in the office on a Friday afternoon and no one's really working. And you come up with something that has a plausible set of rules and it's fine to entertain you for 30 minutes, but only because you're at work and you're trying to leave soon anyway.
Yeah.
It's not something you do in your leisure time.
It's the paper football of beach games.
It's the paper. That's well said.
What do you think they're going to do like around town for like a promo videos? I mean,
what's the
iconic Black's Beach video, like, should they do one of those every week?
I mean, they did a burrito. I don't know if you remember deep in the off season, they did a nice burrito video.
They've been around for 2.5 years.
They had a this or that segment at the arena this weekend, which was carne asada fries or poutine, which is like, that's good. That's good content.
Did poutine win?
Well, yeah, every Canadian lacrosse player.
Yeah.
There was like two people said carne asada fries and they got an ovation.
Do people boo this? Because this actually sounds as egregious as, to a San Diego audience, as the Will Myers white queso incident.
There's something more egregious about the white queso incident. Because like at least with poutine, you could respect like, well, that's their thing.
Yeah. And also, like, Will Myers took the side of East Coast Mexican food is better, which is objectively untrue. Whereas poutine is objectively delicious.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. It's great. If you go there, you'll go out of your way to eat it.
Right.
The big problem is there's no such thing as East Coast Mexican food.
Well, you lived on the East Coast. The Mexican restaurants have this menu where it's just 90, it's literally numbered, 90 options of every possible permutation of combo that you could get.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, two enchiladas and one
all
taco,
with flour tortillas.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a burrito in Burlington, Vermont once.
But it's not a style.
No.
Well, it kind of is. Ground beef. It's always ground beef.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think there's a distinct style.
I think that's just like white person Mexican.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. East Coast Mexican food. That's why Will Myers enjoys it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
But I thought that the Black's Beach video kind of endeared me to them more. I think they should do that every day.
They should do something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, just around town bits. Bits.
They're good at bits.
They are good at bits. You could do SeaWorld stuff, but that's fraught. Yeah, you might want to steer clear of SeaWorld. You could probably do the zoo stuff. You could do the zoo stuff more.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of, you know, stereotypical San Diego stuff they could do still.
Yeah.
I want them to like cross universes with like the soccers. Like they walk into a bar and the soccers are there. And
oh, I like that.
Like a dance off.
Yeah.
it would break one of the cardinal rules, but there is a film with a scene related to that they could a San Diego based film, but I'm not going to cite it because it's against the rules to cite this film. But but it does fit the template you've laid out here pretty effectively.
I mean, they could do the Top Gun scene, right? The Top Gun singing scene in the bar where with Landon and
I don't know
they Scott's could, or something. But
yeah, they could recreate something from like what is it? Hardcore in what was it? 78.
Yeah, I mean, they could actually just, you know what they should do? Fun. Did you ever watch the
Traffic?
Paul Scheer bit?
Freebase
he
Heroin?
Yeah.
The Paul Scheer thing where he would just remake a like a TV theme intro segment. And he did Simon and Simon, which of course is one of San Diego's greatest productions. What about that? That would be great.
That would be great.
A shot for shot remake with Austin Stotts and, I don't know. Dangerous Dan Dawson.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. Or John from Cincinnati. Could do some real good John from Cincinnati content.
Even the original show wasn't good content.
Have you watched that show recently?
No.
You should watch it now. Because it is still bad, but it's a whole new level of bad because it's just unbelievable that
thing
was ever
made. How much time do you have to rewatch John from Cincinnati?
I didn't get far. I might have got an episode and a half in, but it's a bad show.
I mean, at least pull Pacific Blue.
Yeah.
Mario Lopez. Like, we could do that pretty easily.
Or Terriers, which is actually good.
Would be great.
Terriers is actually good.
And it's in the neighborhood of the arena. Maybe it is the best one.
Terriers might be the best one. Yeah. You could go around to some of the spots in OB.
Yeah, Hoda, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Josiah gets a little offended when they go after the developers from La Jolla. He's like, that's my crowd.
Take it easy.
What do you mean developers? They wanted to do it to build an airport.
Yeah.
Which
would be
classic
great.
San Diego content right there.
Well, should we wrap this up or?
Do we have anything else?
I think we've covered the entire world of SEALs.
Except for the game, which we breezed past after a couple minutes.
Well, it wasn't a good game.
It was not a good game. This is
nothing we want to talk about. Who are they playing next?
They're playing Toronto.
Toronto.
In Toronto.
The Rock, yeah.
So you'll be at the Landon debut, right?
Yeah, I'll be at the Landon game.
Let's watch it on the app in the parking lot.
All right, let me see what I can do.
Have you sharpened up on your Toronto bits yet?
I haven't read the Wikipedia on Toronto. I mean, I can pull out some generic Canadian content,
of
course.
They'll expect you to go after Drake, but that's too easy.
I don't know anything about Drake. That's not my swim lane. That sounds like a Nick swim lane.
That actually does seem...
You know.
Yeah.
I'll work on it.
Let's try to find out who the targets are in Toronto Rock Twitter. I think we can really go to war with them.
Do they have a podcast? Friday.
No, there's not that many team-oriented podcasts.
It's league podcasts.
Yeah, they're league podcasts.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Inside Lacrosse used to be a magazine. I don't know if it still has a print publication. It certainly has an active website. They do pretty regular coverage of the NL. They do power rankings segments and some video stuff. They have a good podcast presence.
I did start watching – this is a quick aside, but if you do have the – Bleacher Report subscription, there's an NLL inside the NLL. It comes out on Tuesdays, and I did start watching that to kind of learn the other teams, which has helped a lot. Like, I didn't know Georgia Swarm was good.
Yeah, tell me what is their take on the SEALs? What's the narrative that they're pushing when they go to the
they
SEALs?
Love talking about Dan Dawson. They love talking about the veterans because
Dawson and
they
Buchanan.
Know. Yeah. And so they were actually where I first heard the talk about the construction of the team, where they brought in these like Hall of Fame caliber players that are old and still good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's generally the narrative they go with. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it. The hosts are not great. The production values are not great. But I think they know the marquee names. I don't think they go much deeper.
Yeah. Interesting. What's their burn on Stotts?
I think they love Stotts.
They love Stotts. Yeah. Okay, that's good.
I mean, he's like a...
I mean, Stotts is going to be rookie of the year, but it doesn't hurt that his brother, like the name is known already. His brother is like third in points.
They were waiting for this guy.
Yeah, his brother's third in points in the NLL right now.
Is he the youngest of the brothers, or there's another brother?
No, it's the Thompsons that have that are three. Well, there might be a third Stotts. I have no damn clue.
I think it's just the brother.
Two in the
Randy Stotts with Stotts. Georgia, who is apparently incredible.
Yeah, wow. Interesting.
Well, you got to go to Toronto and get a win.
Yeah.
And let's get back. So
let's beat the Rock.
Beat the Rock.
The Rock.
Yeah. And we'll be at the game on Friday if you want to talk some Seals.
Yeah.
We must protect this field. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. Player works up, this is our for the San Diego Seals. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. Player works up, this is our for the San Diego Seals.
National Lacrosse League introducing this new member. Quickly becoming contender. San Diego Seals, remember. Team is gonna enter Valley View Casino Center with an owner with a vision for SD and not a runner. Inaugural season, but we're going for the ground. Like the Triton World by Salty Hunters and the house that sound. Purple, black, and gray with some gorgeous look around. San Diego Seals repping for this military town, We must protect this field, but that doesn't mean our rogues that we slow down and yield. Arena fully filled with the energy you feel. Have the great defensive place, another highlight for the real. While showing off the skills as we get the ball across. The opposing goalie cause the Seals can settle for a loss. Now it's time to surface, get the victories our purpose. We're the San Diego Seals, let's get ready for lacrosse.
We must protect this field. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. Player hearts up, this is our house with the San Diego Seals. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. We must protect this field. Player hearts up, this is our house with the San Diego Seals.